Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour, the morning edition. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and every Thursday we always talk a little bit about some Texas AgriLife Extension with a Randall County Extension agent down there in Canyon, Texas, Mr. J.D. Ragland. J.D., how are you doing today?
Oh, doing great, Bryson. Good to be with you here this morning, and it's a great morning here in the Texas Panhandle. I love this time of the year and this weather that we're getting. Certainly, we've had about all the hot, dry conditions we want, and it's just enjoyable to be able to experience, particularly the mornings, of it being a little cool and a little fall kind of atmosphere out there.
I couldn't agree with you more. I like a little bit of fall weather, and of course, fall brings around a lot of busy stuff for agriculturalists, and we've got a lot of crops, some of them being planted, a lot of them being harvested. JD, how do things look throughout the high plains for all those commodities out there?
Yeah, well, right now what we're experiencing, Bryson, is just some harvest that's beginning to get underway. Mainly right now, our corn harvest is in full swing. Right here in Randall County, we don't have all that many acres of corn, and much of it goes to corn silage in terms of our production. But there is some food corn that's currently being harvested as we speak. As you drive around the high plains, you'll notice many of our corn fields beginning to dry down. And dry down rapidly, particularly with this kind of unseasonable summer temperatures we've had the last 10 days. That drying is occurring rapidly, and those plants are beginning to dry down, and corn is being harvested across the high plains now and probably will continue for about the next 20 to 30 days or so.
Well, JD, how are things looking so far for, you know, those cotton folks out there? You know, we've kind of reached the end of anything growing bowl-wise for some of those cotton producers. What are we looking for that stripping season coming up soon?
Yeah, cotton harvest is just around the corner as well. Much of our crop has reached what we call cutout, which is the stage in development of the plant where it begins to shut down. In other words, the plant has produced all the bolls it's going to produce. Even those producers with irrigation, we tried to encourage them to shut off their irrigation somewhere around September 10th or 15th because it just does not economically make sense to continue much past the 15th of September with any kind of irrigation. So all of our cotton fields across the High Plains region are reaching what we call cutout, which is the last stage of development where the plant begins to start drying down. We won't get any really good defoliation if you're going to do that from a natural standpoint until we get the first killing frost.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in Randall County, or at least in our immediate area, somewhere around October the 10th, give or take, is the usually average of when we get our first killing frost. Prior to that, you'll see a lot of cotton producers that'll be applying cotton defoliants to make that drying down process occur even more rapidly than what Mother Nature can do. And the reason for that, a lot of producers like to get that crop dried down, if you will, defoliated, where they can get in there and get harvest done and get that lint in the stripper and into the module and on to the gin at a rapid pace, and hopefully may be able to miss out on any severe or bad weather in terms of sometimes killing frost brings on some rainfall that maybe can come to us kind of in a rain freeze, if you will, and even sometimes snow as we get in to November and December. So producers want to be able to get that crop harvested off the stock and to the gin and eliminate any potential bad weather, which the bad weather can affect cotton quality. In other words, if cotton remains on a stalk out there or on a plant, and then we get bad weather that sets in where harvest is delayed, sometimes that wetness can get in that bowl and affect our cotton quality, and so we want to be able to avoid that. So many fields will begin to be defoliated by chemical application here very soon as well. So that's kind of what's going on with our cotton situation across our region.
Well, JD, you know, two big words have been basically what agriculture up here in the High Plains has been summed up to is drought and input cost, and both have had a major effect on what people are going to do for the next year and what they plan to do. JD, we talked a little bit about this off air, but what are we going to see, you know, some of these producers out there? Are they going to be switching some crops? Are they going to be moving some of that dry land to something else? Are we going to see maybe some more varieties of crops pop up throughout the High Plains and even in Randall County?
Yeah, Bryson, good point. You know, we've been talking for over a year now about the drought and about our input costs, and it doesn't look like either one of those factors are going to change as we move into 2023. And, you know, it's time for producers to start thinking about what's next. I mean, yes, we've experienced the drought, still in it, for that matter. And, you know, it's time to maybe quit talking about what are we going to do about drought management. Let's think about the next step. And, you know, the next step, we need to try to be as proactive as we can. And that next step is going to entail taking a hard look at what are we going to do in 2023 as far as the upcoming next year's planting season. And I think we're going to see some drastic changes, maybe some that need to occur, particularly on marginal productive land. I think we're going to see a shift where maybe some producers might be considering converting particularly some of that dry land, marginal production land, maybe back into native grass. And, you know, there is a process that producers need to think about if they're planning to at least investigate that option. And one of those would be, first and foremost, what type of grass should we go back to variety-wise? And we like to recommend through Texas A&M AgriLife to consider a blend and or mix of grass. Now, a lot of things are going to determine what variety of blend or mixes we might incorporate into our mix, because some may have access to irrigation, perhaps. You know, sometimes we scratch our head and we say, well, it really doesn't make sense to see native grass under a center pivot. But I think as we move forward and we talk about limited irrigation, water supplies depleting, and our input cost and our current drought situation, grass can do exceptionally well under very, very limited irrigation. So we very well may see some of our cropland that's under center pivot go to grass. And if you've got that accessibility, your variety of mix of grass may be different as opposed to someone that just wanted to maybe reseed and or completely put a piece or a farm or a piece of ground back under native pasture. A couple of things that we think about, you know, in terms of good mix for cattle grazing, whether it be cow-calf or stockers. We want to look at things like side oats grama is a good variety. You know, Bermuda is definitely an option in some cases. You know, Jose wheatgrass. We want to look at various different blends and mixes that will not only give us some good possibility of good grazing during the summer months, but also some that might do well during our dormant winter months as well. So we got to have a mix in there. And again, there's some folks that we rely on quite a bit in our immediate area. And I'll give a shout out to our good friends with Bamert Seed Company. They're based out of Muleshoe, but they also have a division in Panhandle, Texas. They have a staff of consultants that can visit with producers that may be interested in converting some land back to native pasture, and they can help in terms with some decision making as well. And they can also, mix those varieties and be able to sell that to those that may be interested as well. So they're an excellent local resource that understands our part of the world, understands our weather here, our environment here, and they know firsthand the recommendations and the proper mixes. Again, it's going to vary depending on if you're maybe just thinking about strictly dry land and or irrigation as well. And Bryson, I might also add, recently I've had a lot of calls and questions about this very issue from some of our smaller landowners. I like to refer to them as our urban ranchers, those ranchers that maybe just have 10, 15, maybe 20 acres that are either looking at maybe reseeding and or maybe starting over and just completely planting some into native pasture. So I think we're going to see that shift happen. To what extent, I don't see, I wouldn't dare say that, we'd see 30 to 40% of our highly productive land converted. I would not say that. I'm just saying on a limited amount, we might see some producers highly looking at that option as we move into 2023. And honestly, Bryson, now these fall months are a good time to plant those seeds for native grass. If you're thinking about doing that, one of the main reasons is, generally speaking, we capture some good early spring year rain showers that will help bring that grass into production. But if you're in a dry land situation, you're not going to be looking at being able to get grass going very quickly. No matter what your situation you're in, it's going to take some time. I've actually seen myself native grass seed that's been planted set out there for over a year and sometimes even 2 years before it begins to emerge. And you might say, well, why is that? Well, a lot of it has to do with just the availability of rainfall, because it's going to be hard to get native seed established on a dry land situation until we get help from Mother Nature. And nobody really knows when it's going to rain for sure, but it's going to take some moisture to get that grass, native grass seed, up and going. Now, if you're under irrigation, that's a whole different ball game. You can speed that process up through irrigation in terms of getting your native grass established. So I think we'll be seeing that shift a little bit, not to any great extent, but I do think some producers and some inquiries I've had looks like maybe that might be some information that producers are interested in and learning more about and considering as we move in to 2023.
So, JD, I've got to ask, are you going to see more of these producers maybe switch the ball game up towards doing more of the cattle production side? We've got plenty of resources up here in the Panhandle to do that. A lot of, feedlots. We've got a lot of places, slaughterhouses, whatever it may be. We've got the facilities to do so. Are you going to see these, some of these few that might switch over to just doing strictly, more cattle?
I think we will see that, Bryson. Again, to some extent, I don't see, everybody out there doing it. But I think in certain situations, we'll find producers just looking at different alternatives. We've seen it happen before. It's usually a shift or trend that occurs when we go through years of drought, and particularly on marginal land. marginal producing land, producers are certainly going to look at some different options. That's not to say that they won't maybe possibly consider some things like maybe a cover crop, which could be planted annually. But again, I think we'll see producers just really concentrate their high productive land and try to capitalize on as much yield as they possibly can with really good production land, maybe land that's got some irrigation to it as well. But some of this dry land, it's going to have to take a hard look at it until we have something change. And what I mean by that, and until we get lots of moisture, until we maybe look at some of our lower, hopefully, input cost, and until we see that, I think producers are going to be looking at some different options, again, particularly with marginal productive land.
I think that's quite interesting, JD. Hopefully, we see a little bit. Hopefully, you producers out there are thinking of what to do for the future. We know that the costs aren't going to change much within the few years that we've got. And, of course, the drought's still going to be lingering over our heads up here in the Panhandle. But, JD, besides, you know, helping producers, you also got a lot of many hats that you wear as a county extension agent, and a lot of it comes from 4-H, and 4-H season is in full swing right now when it comes to livestock shows, especially the fair season.
Yeah, that's right. These fall fairs, we've got a lot going on, and then in particular with our kiddos, with our livestock projects, we've got a lot of our kids that we're trying to get squared away with their projects in terms of purchasing and getting them on feed. In the state of Texas, all these show animals are required to be validated, and that validation process will occur through the months of October and November to get all these animals legally validated within the owner's ownership, and those deadlines are different depending on the species that a youngster may show. But yeah, so it's kids the season with that as well. We always look forward to that. Most of the county shows up in our part of the world happen during the month of January. So many of our projects are currently being found and put on feed for our youngsters for their local shows. We just, as you mentioned, we just finished up the Tri-State Fair with a lot of our kiddos exhibiting up there. Next week, we'll move to the State Fair of Texas in Dallas as their fair continues with a number of different shows, species shows, starting next week, and a lot of our kids will be participating in that as well.
A lot of good things happening down there at Randall County for some of those 4-H kiddos. I know how hard it is to raise a project, so congratulations to those kids that went out to the Tri-State Fair. I know we had some of them go to that South Plains Fair a little bit, and then hopefully get some good winners out of that Texas State Fair out there in Dallas. But JD, if anybody has any questions about Texas AgriLife or needs to get a hold of you, how can they do so?
Yeah, you bet. Bryson, feel free to give us a call at our extension office. That number is 806-468-5543. They can also visit our website. We've got our information on there about 4-H, as you mentioned, but also agricultural as well. They can go there at randall.agrilife.org, or they can simply stop by our extension office. We're located 200 North Brown Road in Canyon. Pay us a personal visit there. We'll be glad to help them or assist them with any questions or concerns they may have.
Well, JD, as always, thank you so much for coming out, talking a little bit about agriculture, some of the growing issues and concerns, and always thank you so much for coming out.
You bet, Bryson. Always a pleasure to visit with you and share agricultural information to our listeners out there straight from the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service here in Randall County.
Always a huge shout out and thank you to Mr. JD Ragland for coming out, talking a little bit about agriculture with us. Don't forget that there is a new episode of Pasture to Pavement, Agriculture, the Original Innovators, that dropped yesterday morning. We're talking a little bit about crop insurance with the Ag Specialist Group down there in Hereford, Texas. So make sure you swing on by, listen to that. And of course, we have our afternoon ag show happening from 6 to 7 p.m. this afternoon. So make sure you listen to that. Great headlines, stories, a lot of things happening in agriculture. So make sure you swing on by and take a listen to that. But until then, I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Thursday morning.